As you read through Psalms 56 and 57, I think it's pretty clear that these two are paired. And in fact, the more you look for it, the more you see that quite a lot of Psalms are paired together in a similar way. And yet, when you look at the titles of these two Psalms, 56 and 57, and the titles of the Psalms, by the way, are, I think, inspired, and in some versions of the Bible, they actually read as verse 1, and in fact, at least one of the titles of the Psalms is quoted as inspired scripture in the New Testament. So take those titles seriously. Okay, so 56, we're told, is when David is surrounded by the Philistines in Gath. 57, we're told, is a poem by David when he fled from Saul and was in the cave. So, remember when David was running from Saul and he went into a labyrinth kind of cave and was deep inside the cave and was hiding there, and Saul comes in and parks himself right at the front of the cave and takes a rest and sleeps there. So it's a pretty scary time for David. And when he was in Gath, this was after that, this was when he was so desperate to escape from Saul that he went to Achish, king of Gath, and hid there with Achish. But then, of course, people remembered that Goliath was from Gath, and David had been praised as having slain 10,000s of Philistines. And there he was in Gath, surrounded by Philistines. Everyone's like saying to Achish, look, what's the matter with you? This is our key enemy, and you're looking after him, and he's here in Gath, in our city. Let's, you know, kill him. And he has to pretend that he's mad, letting his spittle run down his beard and scrabbling on the door in order to let him to get himself released. Very stressful time. But you can see, in essence, the similarities between the two situations. He's in a cave with Saul parked right in the mouth of the cave. It looked like it was a hopeless situation, like he was never going to get out of it. And likewise, when he's in Gath, surrounded by the Philistines, it's a bit like being in the cave. As you read through the Psalms, these two Psalms, 56 and 57, you'll see that the language is very, very similar. Because in essence, the situations have repeated. When he says, for example, in 56, verse 2, my enemies want to swallow me up, there are many who fight proudly against me. Well, that is the phrase used in 57, verse 3, about Saul wanting to swallow up David. So he says in 57 verse 3, Saul wants to swallow me up. 56 verse 2, it is the Philistines who want to swallow him up. And he says, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. Well, of course, that was a situation that he had to repeat that in both situations. In God, he says, I will praise his word. What word? I don't think he means the whole of the scriptures. I think he means specifically the word of Samuel, the word of the prophets, that he would be king. That somehow all this will pass, and somehow God's word will be fulfilled. And then he says, I won't be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Well, in both situations, that would have been appropriate. They conspire and lurk, watching my steps, eager to take my life. Well, that is very clearly how he would have felt, surrounded by the Philistines in Gath. And yet he also says that kind of thing very often in the Psalms about Saul. So I think that what happened is that when he was in the cave and was amazingly delivered, he wrote a psalm to praise God for that, and we have that in Psalm 57. As I say, the title is A Poem by David When He Fled from Saul in the Cave. But later on, he finds himself, in essence, in the same situation, surrounded by the Philistines in Gath. And so after that, when he's delivered from that, he takes his poem he'd written about the deliverance from Saul and reapplies it to his situation in Gath. Now, here's the point I want to make. Our lives are in God's hands, and quite often you'll find that God will repeat circumstances. Let's say that you suffer because of a very difficult neighbour, and you live for years in that situation, and, okay, God preserves you from what appears to be a hopeless situation. Then you move somewhere else, or that neighbour moves out, and a new neighbour moves in, and old things repeats again. There is that strong sense, I think, in life of déjà vu, that I have already seen this, that I've already been here, this all over again. And you also see how situations in your life repeat, in essence, that in other people's lives, who you know, if you get to know them. If when you meet together at meetings, you don't talk about the weather or the state of the nation, but you really open your hearts and talk about what's going on in your life or what has gone on in your life. And also, the more you read scripture, the more you see that what's going on for me went on for someone else. And you start to see this same divine higher hand in your life. And this is a comfort. And of course, things are repeated so that we might learn the lesson. Even if you learnt the lesson the first time, well, it's a bit like doing exercises in maths, I suppose, when you're at school. Well, yeah, okay, you got it right. Now here's another one. Underline the lesson. Or perhaps you got it wrong, and you need to have another chance to get it right. And so this is why there is a pattern in life, and we are not just at the whim of random event. That is absolutely not so. And I think if you want sort of solid reasons for belief in God, I realize that faith in God is faith in that which cannot be seen. But I do think that when you look back at your own life and you start to see this, that there are so many patterns, so many patterns that repeat, that there had to be a higher hand. And that higher hand is God. And not only just making pretty patterns from his point of view down here on earth, doodling around with a divine finger in human life, not at all. He's doing this to propel us on his program towards salvation, to do us good in our latter end.